normally does. I mentioned a few things on Sunday about this that I had been reading. God has been working me over about this, and I don't know that I've gotten it yet, so I'm going to keep going over it for a few more days, at least until I get it. I think I've tried to put that into your hearts, that we need to continue to go over and over things until we get it. Think about, your food. I chew my food until I get it. I don't just, don't get it and spit it out. I continue to go. And I think the Word of God, I don't mean to be irreverent about the Word of God, comparing it to the physical food, but I think that sometimes we're so quick to move on to other principles and other thoughts, and we didn't get it, and we spend our lives not getting it. And I think we need to get it before we move on. And so I'm not saying you need to stay a place, for 10 years in the same verse. But at the same time, let's get it and let's have it sink in to where it becomes practice. As it becomes practice, then I think that there's a freedom to move on and get more things. And so I'm not saying that it's wrong to read lots of scripture. You don't have to get everything. But when God pulls something out, brings something to your heart, convicts you of something, then why don't you spend a little time and get it before you move on? And that's what I try to do. And I hope that you will do that as well. All right, so Paul says in verse 8, he's given his introduction, and then he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the world, the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And it continues on in verse 10 with that. But tonight we see three things that I'm not going to preach on it for a long, long time. In fact, I'm just going to mention them to you, give you a few points of application, and we're going to go to prayer. But what are the three things that we see about Paul's prayer in these verses? He says, first, I thank my God. So what's Paul doing first? He's thanking God for something. He's going to God and saying, God, thank you for, what is it? He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And then he expounds upon that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And so what is Paul doing? Paul is going to God and saying, God, I am thankful. This is a conversation between Paul and God. He's saying, God, I'm thankful for these people. I am thankful for my brothers and sisters. In this case, there was a specific thing. I'm thankful that their faith is heard of throughout the whole world. I'm thankful that they have a good testimony. Obviously, that their testimony had rang throughout the known world at that time. And Paul is saying, God, thank you so much for these people. And it's very simple tonight, but I ask you the first very simple thing. Do you thank God for the Christians that are around you? Do you continually thank God for the Christians that are around you? Yes, I might pray for Steve. I might pray for Roger. I might pray for any one of you. I might say, God, I pray for them that you would help them this week. They are having a physical thing, a doctor's appointment. God, would you help them? But that's not what Paul is saying. He is thanking God for them. He is saying, God, I praise the Lord for that person. They are a blessing. And it could be a number of different things. God, I thank you for what they do. I thank you that this lady is so faithful with this, washing weekly smocks from the nursery. But that's what Paul's doing. God, thank you for these people. Now, we haven't gotten to the horizontal element yet. Right now, it's the vertical. God, thank you for these people. And very quickly and very simply, I'm just asking you, do you thank God for the people, and let's get very specific, that are right here in this church? Go around the room. Go around the auditorium. Or better yet, go around the directory. And go through that directory and God, thank you for that person. You say, well, there are some people that don't have anything to be thankful for. That's incorrect. Do you know that every single body part that we have, there's a purpose for it, and we need to be thankful for it? Every one. Now, I know that's contradictory to some people in science and say, oh, this, pull that thing out because it has no use to your body. Wonder why God put it there. And I know some people go around the church and they think, I wonder why this, God's put them in our church. But I tell you what, they have a purpose. Every person has a purpose. And although that person might not have found it yet, you can thank the Lord that they're there. I don't know about you, but it is a delight to me to every person that comes here. I'm so glad when anybody shows up. And it's a blessing. And of course, you can take that for granted now after some of these things and we're back open. I know for one thing, I ought not take it for granted because I'm thankful for every person that's here tonight. Every single one. And I hope that there's more in the coming days. But we got to be thankful for people, not just as they come, for the things that they do. Praise the Lord for the people that do this. Even if it's as simple as, thank you, Lord, that this person comes and sings on Sunday morning with us, because it helps us to make a joyful noise to the Lord. God, thank you that this person holds the door open. God, thank you that this person turns on this. God, thank you this person, you know, pulls the weeds. God, thank you for this person that does this. God, thank you for the person that makes sure that the lights are on or the lights are off when we leave. God, thank you for these people. God, thank you for these people. That's what Paul did. He said, I thank my God upon this remembrance. And so I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He gets specific that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. We're not going to talk about that. So first of all, Paul thanked God for the people around him. Are you doing that? I would encourage you that ought to be a part of your prayer, that you're thankful. I tell you, when we get very specific with people, it helps us to understand and appreciate what people are doing in our church. So thank God for people, but it's not just the vertical. Now, yes, Paul is praying to God, but what is Romans? Romans is a letter, right? And it was a letter from Paul to people, okay? And what specific people? The Romans, the people of the church, at least, you know, the Christians that were in Rome. And what is he doing when he says, I thank my God? In the prayer, Paul is thanking God, but in the letter, Paul is talking to who? People. And he's saying very directly, I'm just going to pick on Carrie here. I'm Carrie, I am thanking God for you. Directly, he's talking this way. That's a second element. Okay, he's thanking God for these people, but then he's telling the people the same thing. I thank God for you. You know what, when I go up to one of you or one of you come up to me and say, I thank God for you, it's not just some matter of fact of like, oh, I wonder why you told me that. No, it's a message for me. It's a message for you. If I go to Roger and say, Roger, I thank God for you. What am I saying? I'm saying something directly to Roger. I am thankful for you and what you do. You might be a person that prays to the Lord and says, God, I thank you for this person. But what about going to that person and saying, I thank God for you? You think that would be an encouragement? No doubt. I thank God for you. I'm so pleased that God has you in our body, in our church. I'm thankful for what you do. Find something of what they do and thank them for it. I'm so pleased that you are here. Thank you for coming. Thank you that you're here as a part of our worship. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for always being happy and smiling. Thank you for sharing things, giving us this, or thank you for your service. Thank you for... find something to be thankful for, but let's tell people what we're thankful for. And I would say that a church that is busy thanking each other for the things they do is only going to encourage people to do more. I've told you that many, many times. This is not anything new. Anybody tells me, Pastor, I'm so thankful that what you do, it doesn't like discourage me like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? People are thankful for this. And wish I would stop? No. When I hear somebody's thankful for it, it actually prompts me and promotes me to do more. I think, you know what? If people are thankful that I do that, well then, hey, they must like that, and I want to try my best to do much more. You know, instead of going home and griping and complaining about what other people don't do, why don't we go right to those people and thank them for what they do. And what a blessing that would be. And that's what Paul's doing. God, thank you for these people. And sir, thank you. I thank God for you. You're a blessing in this ministry. You are such a blessing. Do you imagine if one person was picked out of this congregation one by one, what we'd be left with? Nothing. And it's one by one, and each person makes a difference. Every person makes a difference. You start right now taking just one individual. Say, one individual out of this congregation tonight won't make any difference. Just watch it happen. Start pulling people one by one out and watch the singing go down, watch the enthusiasm go down, watch the encouragement go down, watch everything go down, even the attendance will go down, and all of a sudden we'll be left here by ourselves. And we praise the Lord that we have people that are right here. I want to tell you something. God's working with me. I'm slow. It takes me a while to get this. But we need to get to the point that on a daily basis, number one, we're thanking God for people. Number two, we're thanking people for what they're doing. And then we look at the third thing. We see Paul's intercession for the people. Look at verse 9. Paul says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." That is a tremendous statement that Paul says, without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers. He says, and God was his witness. You know what he's saying there? He says, God knows that I do this. You know, this is a for sure thing. Paul is not just, you know, guessing, like, I think I do a fairly decent job. He says, no, God knows that I continually do this. So he interceded for these people on a consistent basis. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing..." So there's one phrase. What does it mean to be without ceasing? I don't think that it means that he starts praying at 8 o'clock in the morning and he doesn't stop until 8 o'clock in the morning, in which he starts again and he never stops. I don't think it's 24/7. I don't think that's what he's saying. What does not ceasing mean, without ceasing? Okay, it's certainly an attitude, but what else? It's just very consistent. He doesn't ever let it go for a while and say, you know what, I haven't prayed for this family for 3 or 4 weeks. No, it's just an ongoing thing that he continually brings them before him. Before the Lord, God, I prayed for this person yesterday and I'm praying for him again today. Again, it doesn't mean that you can't stop praying. What it means is it just continually goes on. There's no lapse. There's no break. He just continues to pray, probably on a daily basis for these people. He continues to go. So he says he prays without ceasing. That without ceasing I make mention of you. And then what's the next word? Always in my prayers. I mean, without ceasing, always. I'll say something. This is convicting. This is convicting. How much are we praying for each other? How much are we praying for the people right around us? Lord, would you please be with him? Yesterday I came to you in prayer, and then tomorrow I'm praying for these people. I wonder what God would do with a church that was consistently praying for each other without ceasing, always. Always. If we were to take a survey tonight, a true survey where the truth came out, how much do you prayed for? There's tonight only, I don't even know if there's 40 people here, 30 some people here tonight. If there was a survey and the truth, you didn't even write it or testify. It was just God indicated how much and just went right down the line, right here from Stephen all the way down, just all the way to the very back. And a report was given about how much that individual prayed for other people in the church. I wonder what the report would look like. Would we be embarrassed? Or would we be encouraged? Wow, I had no idea that so many people were not only praying for me, but look at, you know, I would say most of it. I don't know what the truth would be. But we do know that it would be God's desire that all of us would be always praying for all of us, each other. That would be God's desire. That's what Paul was doing. And I think that as we take the example from the scripture, that we need to have the same spirit. Number one, Paul thanked God for people. Are you thanking God for people? God, thank you so much for the people that are around me. Help you have a different perspective of the people around you. Number two, are you thanking those people individually? I thank the Lord for you. You are a blessing. Thank you so much for what you do. Encouraging people, edifying one another. They're going to be encouraged and strengthened, built up to continue to do more. which we need. And then thirdly, every day consistently praying for these people, okay? This is different than thinking. Okay, now I know. I thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these people. And Carrie, I thank you. And now, God, would you help him with what he's doing? Help him to lead his family. Help him to be the neighbor that he needs to be. Help him at work, that he would be the worker that he needs to be as he witnesses. And help him to do his best with this. And Lord, I know he's going through this physical situation. God, would you help him with that? That's the intercession that Paul is talking about. Thirdly, are you interceding for each other? Now that's simple, simple, simple. I mean, anybody could have preached this message. But I tell you what, it's ground level, but it's good. It's what we need to do. And I would say there are probably many of us that aren't doing what we ought to do. Here's what I want to encourage you to do practically. Each one of you ought to have, now I don't know if you do, if you need another one, go see Carol. But a directory. Do you have a directory? All right. Is what I'd encourage you to do. It's very basic. I think you ought to take that directory and divide, you know, the congregation up. You know what, honestly, it's not that much per day to divide everybody up and pray for. I think it works out to be about, it's not perfect, but I think about 8 or so families. Again, you know, there's some even since it was made that have, you know, different things have happened or whatever. But if you, again, my numbers could be off just a little bit. I think it's 7 or 8. I know that because I have mine divided up. And you take that and you just, it doesn't take forever to get through 8 different people. And you know that every week you could be consistently praying through our, I say entire congregation, of, for the most part, people that come to our church. And it doesn't take that long, and yet you could spend some time. You know, you could pray for everybody in one day, and it would take a little bit of time, and that's great. But, you know, just very practical, if you're not a person that blocks out, you know, a couple hours of prayer, take a little bit of time. And honestly, just imagine even just 60 seconds of prayer for an individual or family could make a world of difference. But I wonder how many seconds are even being done. 60 seconds for each person in that family, or even that family. And I'm not saying that you need to stop with 60 seconds, but I think that would be a wonderful start. Divide it up and pray, and every week you can just rotate through. I think it would be phenomenal change in probably what's going on. So let's take it and let's pray for each other that God would bless. And I would say, you know, maybe even keep this right with it. Keep your prayer sheet right with it. And so that way, when you get to that individual, say, oh yes, I remember that they are on here also. And it will help you to pray specifically for them with some things that are going on in their lives. Okay, so very simple tonight. A little bit away from what we've been doing. But you know, as I've been going through Romans, this is where I'm at right now. I am working through this. I'm trying to get victory in this, that I am consistent with these three things. Trying to get better. I'm trying to get victory in this. And so you pray. That's something you can pray with me about. Pray that, Pastor, we get very consistent with all three of these things. And I'm guessing that maybe I could pray for you with the same thing. So let's pray that way. Glad that you're here tonight. And trust that God will bless you with what he is doing in your lives. Everybody's going through different things with maybe health things, maybe financial things, emotional things, spiritual things. But nevertheless, let's pray for each other.